It's Monday, and NBA business begins at noon. Let's get ready to rumble! Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter, and I am stretching out for a big week of NBA business. I mean, a big week. At noon, business begins. Trades can start happening. Woj and Shams will be tweeting their damn fingers off. Then, on Wednesday, there is the draft. And then on Thursday, we will find out team player option stuff. Maybe Gordon Hayward will wait until then. I don't know. And then Friday, free agent negotiations can begin. And then Sunday, free agency officially opens. Whew, what a week we have got going on. In the middle of November, it is just going to be crazy. So in today's show, I will spend the first segment kind of laying out the landscape. Here's what we are now operating under. A lot of things have been agreed to over the weekend. I'm going to lay out just the important stuff so you kind of know the process, what we're working with here. Segment two, what does this mean for the Boston Celtics? How is this impacting the Boston Celtics? What are we looking at now? Because things are changing. And then segment three, I'll go to the rumor mill. The James Harden rumors. The Jrue Holiday rumors. That's coming up in segment three. So I just kind of laid out this week's schedule. The important thing now for the Boston Celtics is the future salary cap, which has been set this year at the same 109 that it was last year. But the next 3 years, they're going to spread this out. So players have been able to spread out their escrow, which is the amount of money that's held out of their checks so they can make sure that they match. If you're new to the show, first of all, welcome. I hope you enjoy this. Regular listeners, shout out to you too. But a few weeks ago, I did a show with a series of shows with Ryan Bernadoni. And basically, in that show, we explained that these numbers that we're seeing now with salaries, these salaries are no longer real numbers. They were kind of sort of real numbers, but they're no longer real numbers because the players and the owners split the money basically 50-50. And they're still going to split the money 50-50. But they've worked out a way to spread this past season's losses because of the hiatus into the next few years. So the players aren't going to have as much of their money held this year. They're going to spread that into next year. And the salary cap is going to be lower. They're going to spread that out for the team side over the next few years. So the 21-22 season, the salary cap will be set at approximately $112 million with a luxury tax at $136.6. Now, originally, that number was supposed to be $125 million and a tax line of $151, just so you know where we're working with here, what we're working with here. Instead of a cap spike that was supposed to be potentially coming, and that may come in the 2024-25 season. But in 22-23, the salary cap goes up, projected to go up around 115.7 with a tax line of $140 million. And then the following season, a $119 million salary cap and a luxury tax of $144.9, basically $145. So that is not anywhere close to what teams were thinking. And this is going to impact the whole league, some teams more than others. I think small market teams might be like, yeah, this is kind of cool. We're cool with this. But some of these bigger market teams, like the Boston Celtics, are going to be sitting here like thinking we've got to adjust. There are a lot of things that are changing. And like I said, in the second segment, I'll go through all of that stuff. But basically, all you need to know is the salary cap is not going to be as high as we thought it was going to be before the pandemic. It's going to be spread out over the next few years, so there's no big cap spike coming a year from now. And the salary, the luxury tax line is going to be lower just by association. The cap's going to be lower, the tax line's going to be lower. So a lot of contracts were handed out prior to these changes. So I'll get to that in the second segment. And here's just a quick run through of the tentative schedule here, with opening night on December 22nd. The All-Star break, which will not include an All-Star game, will be in early March around the 5th, starting on the 5th, to give basically everybody a week off to just relax in the middle of the season. The regular season is supposed to end in the middle of May, with a play-in tournament beginning immediately after that. They're going to do the playoff tournament for the 7th to the 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds are going to be in the play-in tournament. So 7 and 8 will play each other. The winner gets the 7th seed. 9 and 10 will play each other. That winner plays the 8th seed. And the winner of that game gets the 8th seed. So you follow? So the 7-8 winner is automatically in. That's locked in. The loser of that game waits for the winner of the 9-10 game to determine who the 8th seed will be. So that's going to happen immediately at the end of May. And then May 22nd-ish will be the first round of the playoffs. June, throughout the course of June, early June, conference semifinals. Late June, conference finals. And then July will be the NBA finals. So the NBA Finals will be played about the time Summer League would happen, which means the draft will be subsequently pushed forward. We're basically going to find the NBA on like a month behind. But what's going to end up happening is they'll just start the following season normally, and that's just going to be, they will have caught up. It'll be a slightly shorter off season, but it won't be too bad. It'll only be a month shorter for, you know, the championship teams, the two NBA Finals teams. Everyone else will be, it'll be fine. So they'll be back on track. We'll get back to, now, do they do a summer league in August? Oh man, do I have to go to Las Vegas in August? July is bad enough. You're going to send me to Las Vegas in August? Oh my God. Maybe they shouldn't do it this year either. Maybe find a different location. Hopefully, if they even do a summer league, I don't know what the COVID situation is going to be like in July. I mean, hopefully we cross a bridge and things will, you know, we can have rapid testing and a vaccine and be back to normal somehow, hopefully, but who knows? So that's basically the schedule. But first things first, the NBA draft is this week, and that's going to be our focus. Obviously, all week long, there will be, you know, pre-draft coverage. There's going to be whatever's happening, I'm going to have it covered here. I'll get another guest on to do like one more just pre-draft kind of run through of things to see where we are, to see, wrap up the rumors, and then Thursday's podcast will be just all draft analysis. And then Friday will be the mailbag. That's basically this week. This week's going to be nuts. So, and if you've got a mailbag question, you can email me, jcorrales@masslive.com. If you're new to the show, on Friday, Mailbag Friday, email me your question. I'm either going to write an answer on Mass Live or say the answer here on the podcast. Wednesday night for the draft, we're going to have a live show in the Locked On Podcast Network. Live draft coverage this year on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Locked On Live. It'll be the only place you can find Chad Ford. He is the GOAT of draft analysis. So if you want to hear Chad Ford's analysis live on the night of the draft, you can join Chad, Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks, and David Locke for the most in-depth coverage of the NBA draft, featuring analysis from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. So follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, and you can get an alert as soon as they go live. That is going to be a must-watch on Wednesday. You should also be buying yourself a Built Bar. Have yourself a Built Bar while you're watching the draft coverage. It's a nice, delicious treat. You can just have it as a treat. But it's a protein bar that is healthy for you, and it comes in 18 flavors. If you've got a nut allergy, there are plenty of flavors that you can have no problem. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They taste like a candy bar. They're soft and they're easy to chew. If you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging a little bit, this is perfect. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great if you're on a keto diet. I love the peanut butter one, which gives me 19 grams of protein and 180 calories. So I know that my cardio isn't going to get blown away by something that I just ate. I know that when I lift, my body's going to get the protein that it needs to help build muscle. And with only 5 grams of sugar and 5 net carbs, it's really not screwing me over. This is going to be perfect for me to eat right after my workout to get my body what it needs. You should check it out. Go to BuiltBar.com. You can use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. If you've used the promo code before, you can use it again. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off your next order. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. In the first segment, I laid out the projected future salary cap and tax lines. And this is really going to be tough for the Celtics. It's going to be tough because they now have, they handed out big contracts based on, you know, prior numbers. And so Kemba Walker got a 4-year max contract at 141 was the total value. This upcoming season is going to make $34.3 million. Gordon Hayward's contract, if he opts in, is almost $34.2 million. Jaylen Brown is going to get just about $24 million. Jason Tatum, when he gets his contract next year, they're going to have to max him out, and he's going to get like 30% of the cap. So 30% of the cap, that is $112 million. It's going to be over $30 million. Okay? It's going to be like 30, what is that, 33 and change? So he's going to be making like Kemba Walker money. And so that is going to put the Celtics in a little bit of a financial bind. So looking at these numbers, the number one thing is, I think, is with the lower tax line, it's going to mean a lower apron. The apron is a number about $6 million above the tax line. So next season, it would be about 140. No, this upcoming season, I should say, it'd be $139 million. And then the following season, it'll be about $142 million. So the reason why that apron is important is because there are mechanisms in this salary, this CBA, that hard cap a team at that number. If you bring a player in via a sign-in trade, you are hard capped at that apron. So this season, the hard cap is at $139 million, basically. If the Celtics make a trade and we look at these trades for whomever, pick a rumor, and we say, well, to make it work, we're going to have to get this guy to do a sign-in trade to come to Boston. Well, that triggers the hard cap. If the Celtics decide that they want to spend more than $5.7 million on a free agent and use their full mid-level, that hard caps them. And when you look at the hard cap at $139 million and you look at what the Celtics' payroll is, well, if they ran it back, let's just say they brought everybody back at their number, that Gordon Hayward, Daniel Tice, Enes Kanter, Shemi, Brad Wanamaker, that's $144 million. Everybody, last year's team with this year's, $144 million. So they'd be over that hard cap. So you can go over that if you're just a tax-paying team. You can pay as much as you want, really. That's just, now you're just paying the tax, whatever that works out to be. But if you sign somebody, if you trigger one of these hard cap things, then you can't go over that number. So my initial reaction is that's one of the things that limits what the Celtics are going to be able to do. How are they going to be able to build their team moving forward? These numbers, these lower numbers, put the Celtics in a bind. With the hard cap there, they probably won't be able to sign and trade anybody. Because look, next year, assuming they don't trade Kemba, and I don't think they do, you have Kemba, Marcus Smart's at $14.3 million, Tatum's on the first year of his extension, Jaylen Brown is at $25 million. So $36 million for Kemba, $32 million for Jason. That's what, 68? Then you throw Marcus Smart in there. That's 82. Then you throw Jaylen Brown in there. That's what, 107? That's that following season where the luxury, where the salary cap is at 112. And you got four guys getting you up to 107, if my math is right, and it rarely is. Maybe, I don't know. But you throw in guys like, are you going to keep Romeo Langford? Is he going to be here? Basically, they're going to be over the cap with just a few guys. The following year, after that, what do they do with Marcus Smart? Does this mean that Marcus Smart ends up going? Do they have to find, look, because Marcus Smart, in 2 years, after two seasons, he's going to be in his prime. He's going to want what his fair market value is, and we'll have to see what that is, but it's going to be pretty high. It's going to be probably more than $14 million. And so where are the Celtics going to be on that? What are they going to want to pay him? Is he going to price his way out of Boston? Or does Boston have to sign him because, well, if you don't sign him, you don't have money to pay anybody else. This is the dilemma, because a year after that, let's assume Kemba Walker takes his player option at $37.5 million and Jaylen Brown's making $27.5 million. That's what, $64, $65 million? And you throw Jason Tatum in there at $34, $35 million. So that's $100 million right there. You don't have any cap space. You barely have any cap space. It's three guys. You have other players on the team you've got to pay. You sit there, you're like, well, you got to pay Marcus Smart because you can't pay anybody else to replace Marcus Smart. And so, I mean, I say that. I know my inflection there was like negative. It's actually that's going to end up, I think, keeping Marcus Smart as a positive. But the point is, you don't have many options. The Celtics are going to be out of options. And now this brings me to the Gordon Hayward situation. If I'm looking at all of this down the line here, the Celtics aren't going to have a lot of options. So what do they do with Gordon Hayward? If Gordon Hayward wants to go, if he tells this team, I am out, I am opting in, I'm taking my $34 million minus whatever escrow, blah, 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 I'm taking all of this money, but look, I want out. After this season, I'm going to go. then Danny Ainge absolutely, positively has to trade him. Because not only do you not want Gordon Hayward to leave without getting something in return, next year you do not have any mechanism for adding players. If he walks without getting something in return, you know, sometimes you can sit there and say, well, you know what? That's okay. It's worth it to just say, Gordon, go ahead. We got you. We feel you. We're going to roll with this. And then we'll revisit after this season. If you got to go, you got to go. But if he goes and you get nothing in return, now you're stuck. So for long-term planning, you have to put yourself in a position to make sure you're getting good players. So Gordon Hayward, if he opts in and does not say, I'm here for the long haul, you absolutely have to find players to get for him, because you're going to put yourself in a position where you could have gotten multiple players for this guy and you passed on it, and now you've got no way to add two players that you could have gotten that were good enough to get with Gordon Hayward. And I've talked about you for Gordon Hayward, you can split, you turn Gordon Hayward into two useful players. Those two useful players are going to be guys that would normally make somewhere north of the mid-level. You get two guys that would normally get paid more than $5.7 million. That ends up starting to be worth it because of this situation, because of this financial situation to me. Because next year, you're going to have $5.7 million or whatever that number is going to be. It's going to be more than 5.7. Whatever that mid-level number is going to be. It'd be like 6-something. 6.2, 6.3. But you're going to have that money to add one guy. If you can take Hayward and add two more guys that you could potentially have for the long haul, because even if it's a guy that's in the last year of his deal, when you trade for a player, you trade for his bird rights, which means you can go over the cap to pay this guy. So trading for a player, even if he's in his last year, it's okay because you can pay that player. So if Hayward is out, it becomes imperative that you trade him. Like, I don't think there's even a discussion at that point. Or the Celtics look at this situation and be like, there's no way we can get two guys that can do what Gordon Hayward does. And Gordon Hayward says, you know, look, I'm not so sure I want to be here. And the Celtics say, hey, man, we need you here. We are going to overpay to keep you here. We're going to convince you to stay. I can see this situation being a place where they overpay Gordon Hayward to stay, because this is the only way you can spend money. It's kind of like what they did to Jeff Green the year after his heart surgery, where they still gave him like $9 million. And people were like, what are you doing? And the thought was, if he walks, the Celtics in that spot didn't have that money to spend on somebody else. They didn't have $9 million to just spend on anybody. They had Jeff Green, his bird rights, and the ability to pay him to stay versus getting whatever replacement player. Now, in hindsight, maybe you say, well, maybe the replacement player wouldn't have been so bad. But hey, look, they still flipped Jeff Green and got that. This 14th pick is Jeff Green. So, but I digress. But this is a situation where they might look at Gordon and be like, look, man, I know you say you want to go, but we're going to back up that Brinks truck. We're going to empty the bag. And I'm not saying max contract, because that's silly, but like more than you would normally pay. We're talking about paying him something like $20 million. You know, you pay him more than any other team would be willing to pay him, because he does enough for this team that there's just no way you can replace that. So those are the two scenarios here. B, because of the way things are going, the Celtics can't do the sign and trades that they might have thought they could do. That takes away an option. They can't do the full mid-level. That takes away an option. So now you're stuck with, well, who do we have? So the final point on all of this is, because of all of this, trades are probably the only way to improve this team in any meaningful manner. So back to the Gordon Hayward thing. If you think there's any indication that he might not stick around, if he opts in and you say, well, there's no guarantee, then the trade is the only way to improve that team. And then next year, so say you trade him, you get a couple of useful guys. And you start Kemba and Jalen and Jason and whatever, Tice or Robert Williams and, you know, one of the guys you trade for. And you roll with it. And then next year, you're like, oh, this isn't working. Well, there's no big free agent. You're not going to have cap space. You're going to have $6 million to spend or so. Do you want to make a meaningful move? Well, guess what? You're going to have to make a trade. And Gordon's already going to be gone. So who's next? And you start looking around this roster. It's going to get interesting. I don't know who it would be, but it's going to get interesting. Trades, because of this, because of the Celtics' financial situation, we're looking at a situation where trades could be the only way they improve this team. Now, you can wait and just see what happens over the next couple of years, because after that 23 season, Jason Tatum will be a couple of years into his extension. Jaylen Brown will still have another year left. Kemba Walker comes off the books in 23. Who knows what you do with Marcus Smart? I mean, maybe you just roll with this squad that you have and see if you can tinker around the edges, but that's all you can do. And then you start making your material changes when Kemba's off the books. But, you know, that's still a few years down the road, and who knows what the hell happens between now and then. But all of this is to say, kind of crazy. Celtics are kind of stuck. So up next, maybe one of those significant trades, does that come now? Does that come this week? Does that come before training camp starts in a couple of weeks? The rumor mill with James Harden, Drew Holiday. What's up with those guys? Next. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. The rumor mill is going to be cranking this week. I mean, so many reports are going to be coming out this week. We're taking all of those early July, there's like 2 weeks worth of stuff, 3 weeks worth of stuff, maybe more, and we're cramming it into a couple of days. The next few days, I might explode. My computer might melt. We'll try to keep up with it. So obviously a couple of the rumors out there surround the Houston Rockets, because the Houston Rockets are a mess. Tillman Fertitta is just, you know, he's broke. Not really, but he can't afford this team. His industries are taking a beating. His, you know, he owns Golden Nugget and Landry's Restaurant Group, which has like a bunch of chain restaurants. So people aren't going to be able to go out to eat like they have been over the summer. That's going to start going away. Casinos aren't going to be like, this dude's going to start really feeling it. Like he's in trouble. So Russell Westbrook's like, I want out. James Harden hasn't said he wants out, but according to a report on ESPN, Kevin Durant and James Harden have, quote, recently discussed the possibility of teaming up. No trade discussions yet, but they've discussed the possibility, just like Durant and Kyrie Irving did at some point. So I don't know if there's anything that's going to come of this. I'm sure the Nets can put together. They're looking for a third star. This would be a hell of a third star, and we'll see what they can put together. I'm sure there are a bunch of guys, you know, a Caris LeVert, Jared Allen centered trade with picks, and, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie. There are guys that they can throw together in there that will make this work. So that would be an interesting roadblock for the Boston Celtics. I'm really curious to see how that would work. And so obviously they'd be very good. Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving together would be just insane. But I still think that would be a highly combustible situation, because Kyrie wants to be the number one guy. Durant is an alpha guy. Harden is an alpha guy. And they're all ball-dominant perimeter players. So we go back to the big three situations that worked, like the Boston Celtics. And I'm not talking like Larry Bird's days. I'm talking about going back to the KG, Pierce, Ray Allen. Who was sacrificing like they did? Ray Allen sacrificed a ton and just became basically a shooter when he used to be more than that. But he sacrificed a bunch. And he was older, but he was the shooter. Pierce was the slasher. Garnett was the big, the mid-range guy who set picks and played defense. And very, very unselfish. So that worked. The LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh thing didn't work right away. It took them time to figure it out because the fit wasn't exactly the same. So Durant, Irving, and Harden, yeah, could they win a championship? Hell yeah, they could win a championship. But also, I can see a Miami-type stumbling block. Like, it would take a little while for them to figure it out. Durant and Irving can play the my turn, your turn thing. You can run pick and rolls with those guys, and, you know, it'll be fun to watch from a, you know, nonpartisan perspective. Throw Harden in there, and I do think that they would be very good, but combustible. I think they would have a very high variance between, could they succeed? Like I said, they could be a championship team, or they could like be a second round exit team, because when the shit hits the fan in the playoffs and it becomes an individual game, are they going to be cool with the trade-offs? And, you know, Doc Rivers is great. He talks about this all the time, the sacrifice that's necessary when you've got this many good players. If Harden gets dealt to Brooklyn, and a lot of these, you know, role players move, are these three guys, who's going to sacrifice? Who's going to become the shooter? Who's going to be a spot-up guy? You know, Kyrie's going to come down and he's going to dribble. It's guaranteed to happen at some point. That Kyrie's going to come down and dribble, 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 and ignore somebody on the, you know, that might be open, and he'd get fouled or whatever, and there'd be a timeout. Even if he scores and there's a timeout, Harden or Durant would, hey, you know, he had me, I was open. And maybe the first couple of times that's okay, but then, you know, eventually that wears on everybody. So there is a potential for these guys in these situations to kind of blow it up. Again, highly combustible. Certainly a championship level team with those three guys, certainly. But also certainly the potential for it could be volatile. So I don't want to sit there and be like, I don't know if it'll work. It certainly could work. But that would be an interesting one. I don't think the Celtics are going to move for Harden. On Friday, I put out the fake trade that everybody hated. which was, and I didn't even put it out in like in a serious, like, oh, I think the Celtics should do this, but it was Smart and Jalen and Romeo plus picks for James Harden, which, by the way, is about what it would take to get James Harden. And I get it. You don't want to do that. Fine. I'm not advocating for that deal at all. I will, however, say Kemba, Harden, Tatum, keep Gordon Hayward, and throw Rob Williams as your starting lineup. I know you're focused on who the Celtics would be giving up, but if you're starting Kemba, Harden, Hayward, Tatum, and Rob Williams, that team's going to score a ton of points, man. It's going to score a ton of points. There's more defense on that team than there would be on the Brooklyn team. You're giving up a ton of defense for sure. I'm just saying it would score a ton of points. I'm not pushing for that deal. I'm not saying it would be the right or wrong thing to do. I am saying that that's probably the price it would cost. And I am saying that when you think about what the Celtics would keep, that would be a hell of a lineup. That team would score a lot. So we'll keep an eye on the Harden stuff. I don't think that Harden's going anywhere right now. I think Houston's best bet is really, honestly, think about it from Fertitta's perspective. You keep your stars, keep Harden, keep Westbrook. Hopefully, from his perspective, Texas allows some fans in the games because they're a little looser with their COVID things, and you figure out a way, you make a little bit of money. He wants money, man. Fertitta wants money. He's going to hold on to that moneymaker as much as he can. So I don't think Harden and I don't think Westbrook are going to get traded right away. They might. I could be wrong. Sure. But because Fertitta could be like, you know what? I'm not paying these guys. So trade them, get a bunch of young players. We'll suck, but my roster will be a lot cheaper. I can see that as well. But I just don't think Harden, and Westbrook move. I think he's going to want to bring in more money than save more money. The other rumor from Chris Mannix, it's an update on the Jrue Holiday thing. Chris Mannix tweeted that Holiday continues to generate significant league-wide interest with several teams attempting to get into the top 10 to acquire a pick needed to deal for Holiday. Several team execs say the Nuggets, armed with young talent to trade, are a strong threat. I can see that. They've got young talent, yes. They've got picks, yes. They can move. They can make a move. I think the Nuggets are definitely a team that is primed to make a deal to upgrade its talent. They're in a position right now. I mean, they were in the conference finals. They're in a position right now to try to upgrade that team and get another great player. Jrue Holiday is really good. Now, the asking price of a top 10 pick, the Celtics could try to get into that top 10 and use that pick to trade for Holiday. They can certainly do it. We've talked about it before. Holiday is certainly an option. It'd be interesting. I don't know that a Holiday for Kemba thing is the way to go. I think he'd be something, you know, someone that you send Hayward out and you try to, it'd have to be a third team. People have suggested a team like Detroit. Sure. You know, if Detroit can give up, can get some assets and they can give up, you know, when I look at Detroit, I look at Luke Kennard because he's a shooter and the Celtics need a shooter. If the Celtics can find a way to get him. Detroit's pick can go to New Orleans. Holiday can go to Boston. Detroit gets all of Boston's picks somehow. That make that framework work somehow. That I can see. You know, Hayward's in New Orleans. Detroit gets some picks, maybe a young player somewhere. Whatever you need to do to make it work financially. Sure, I can see that. That works within the Mannix tweet thing. But the Nuggets, I can certainly see the Nuggets moving in and making a better offer. It's just a matter of getting that pick, which, who knows? Personally, I don't expect Holiday to be in Boston. My reaction to these things normally is I don't expect this to happen because it rarely does. We'll see if there's any more smoke around this fire. We'll see what New Orleans wants. I think Holiday can get them a lot of what they need, a lot of what they're looking for, and to help build around Zion Williamson. So, like I said, ton of rumors going to be going on over the next few days. Keep it here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, which means subscribe if you have not, because I will go over every rumor that comes out, every legitimate rumor that comes out. And of course, on Friday, by the time Friday rolls around, I'm sure on Thursday I'm going to get a ton of questions after the draft. So jcorrales@masslive.com. We'll do that. Like I said, Thursday's a bunch of draft analysis. Go to Locked On Live for the live draft stuff. So if you want, if you don't want that, whatever draft coverage you're going to see on TV, you can go to Locked On Live, watch on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch. So follow Locked On Live on Twitter to get, or YouTube or Twitch to get those updates. And I will just be here going nuts and recording my reactions to all of this stuff. So again, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Follow on Spotify. Regular listeners, I appreciate your ratings and your five-star ratings and your good written reviews. And sharing the podcast, that's super cool too. Tell people that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.